Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. As always, thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And as always, it is a great word. Yes, it is a great word. And I'm grateful to be able to present the word of God to you. In our word today, we're going to talk about Deborah, who was a mighty and awesome judge. Deborah did not play. Tell you like it is, is how it's going to be. You know, it doesn't give us a whole lot of detail about Deborah, but it gives us enough to know that she was a mighty judge. But, you know, as we've been going through the Word of God, I am so excited about, you know, just Bible study in general. But to give a quick know your Bible, as it's explained in a little book I have, and it just says, Judges, unknown. The authors are unknown. Some suggest the prophet Samuel. It is written about 1050 B.C., covering events that occurred as far back as 1375 B.C. The 10 words or less to describe the book of Judges is this: Israel goes through cycles of sin, suffering, and salvation. And let's call it straight. We all go through cycles of sin, suffering, and salvation. So we're no different than Israel. And another, some quotables from the book of Judges is this: they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were around and about them. And we read that on yesterday. That is Judges chapter 2, verse 12. And again, a word that we read on yesterday, the Lord raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. Judges chapter 2, verse 16. And then we haven't got to this word yet, but it's Judges chapter 7, verse 2, and it says, the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. And we know what's going to happen. I'm not going to tell you. We're going to wait till we get there, because it is a exciting word about Gideon. I love the book. I love the story of Gideon and the mighty men of valor. And, you know, it just kind of gives us, you know, an overview, quick overview of Israel. And I just tell you, they went through some stuff on their own making, because when God said, when they went into the land, that they were supposed to get rid of everybody. They were not supposed to leave a Perizzite, a Canaanite, a Jebusite, a Hivite, or an Amorite, but they did. And understand that when you do some things, you're going to get caught up in the mix of whatever it is that they're doing. That's why you have to be very careful. You can't hang out with those that are doing wrong and think that it's going to be all right, because it's not. We have to be very careful of the company we keep. And we have to teach our children, be careful of the company you keep. I don't know how many young people and old people too are sitting in prison cells today because of the company they kept. And the thing is, a lot of times, you might think that you're just taking somebody to the bank, and they go in and rob the bank, and you get charged with bank robbery too. And most of the time, the criminal goes away scot-free practically, and you wind up sitting in a jail cell because you didn't know what was going on. You had that do-de-do-de-do moment. We have to be very careful of the company we keep. And when God says to do something, we got to do it. You know, bottom line is, in our story today, we're going to talk about Barak and the fact that Deborah told him, gave him an assignment from God, and he had the audacity to tell her, well, if you won't go, I won't go. If you will go, I will go. If you won't, I won't. And I'm paraphrasing. But I tell you this. And she told him, okay, go ahead. Do this. But you won't get the glory. A woman will. And we're going to find out that in our next chapter after we get started in chapter 4. But let us pray. And today, the prayer I'm praying comes from a prayer I get every morning. It's normally a private prayer, but today I'm going to share it with you. And it's from Primetime with God. And my prayer this morning is this. Dear Lord God, you are clothed in majesty. My Lord, let me tell everyone I know of your goodness and your glory. Please focus my thoughts on you, my Lord. Clear my mind of all distractions so that I may meditate on your good works. Thank you for the ways in which you have always answered prayers. You have listened to me. You go before me each day and prepare my way. I exalt you, my God. You are my God who never fails. Your love and forgiveness have covered all of my sins. Thank you for the freedom that I have in my Lord Jesus Christ. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:1. In Jesus' powerful name, I pray. Amen. And a few scriptures from my prayer this morning. Psalms 104, praise the Lord, my soul. My Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. And when we pray scriptural prayers. And that is, these are the scriptures that my prayer came from this morning. And for all of us together, these are some special prayers and requests that we pray for our nation. And just join with me this morning. Lord, please heal our land, those working on the front lines, serving the sick, and those in essential services and ministries. Lord, let all Christians and churches reach out with hope and love while people's hearts are open. Lord, how can I bless my church financially during these challenging days? Lord, please use me to bless others in Jesus' name. We have to know who we are, and I know that I am being blessed to be a blessing, and I thank God for his grace and his mercy over all that I do. I thank God that he is always in my life, that he goes before me, that he stands with me, that he is above and not beneath, and that he is the one that lights up every square in mind and not fall into the wiles of the enemy, who is busy always looking to see what he can devour. So let's get into our word. Father God, again, I thank you for this word that we meditate on day and night. May it touch a heart. May it touch a mind. May it touch a soul. In Jesus' name, I ask you, Father God, to please watch over those that are suffering today, those that are bereaved from the many murders and that have happened over the course of this weekend and the beginning of this week. Lord God, I pray that you help those that are suffering, that they will not try to take other lives because they hate their own. So, Father, I pray for our nation that you help us to heal, as I prayed earlier. In Jesus' name, amen. We must continue to pray. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. And my people, we are the people of God, and we need to humble ourselves, and we need to pray for the healing of this land. We have gone that we are forgetting who we belong to. We are God's children, and he wants the best for us. All we have to do is want the best for ourselves. Keep God in your heart. Keep God in your mind. Keep God in your spirit. And may he reign over you and I and all of us. In the name of Christ Jesus, I plead the blood over our nations, asking God to watch over Canada, the Philippines, watching over you guys in Brazil, and you in Nigeria. I pray the blood of Jesus over your nation and over your children, especially over your women who have been treated horribly by those who are supposed to defend them. So I pray for you and ask God to watch over you. And I thank you all in the United States who come in and listen in to this vlog every day. So I thank God for all of you as well. So let's get into our word this morning. We are coming from Judges chapter 3. Now these are the nations which the Lord left that he might test Israel. By them, that is all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. This was only so that the generations of the children of Israel might be taught to know war, at least those who had not formerly known it, namely five lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonese, and the Havites who dwelt in Mount Lebanon, from Mount Baal, Harmon, to the entrance of Hamath. And they were left that he might test Israel by them to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. Thus the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And they took their daughters to their wives and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their gods. So the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherahs. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. When the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the children of Israel who delivered them. Orthanel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim, so that the land had rest for 40 years. Then Orthanel, the son of Kenaz, died. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek, went and defeated Israel, and took possession of the city of palms. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a left-handed man. By him the children of Israel sent tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Ehud made himself a dagger. It was a double-edged and a cubic in length, and fastened it on his right thigh. So he brought the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had finished presenting the tribute, he sent away the people who had carried the tribute. But he himself turned back from the stone images that were at Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. He said, keep silent, and all who attended him went out from him. So Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. And Ehud said, I have a message from God for you. So he arose from his seat, and Ehud reached with his left hand and took the dagger from his right thigh and thrust it into his belly. Even the hilt went in about after the blade, and the fat covered over the blade, for he did not draw the dagger out of his belly, and his entrails came out. Then he went out upper room behind him and locked him. When he had gone out, Eglon's servants came to look, and to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were locked. So they said, he is probably attending to his needs in the cool chamber. So they waited till they were embarrassed, and still he had not opened the doors of the upper room. Therefore they took the key and opened them, and there was their master fallen dead on the floor. But Ehud had escaped while they delayed, and passed beyond the stone images and escaped to Syria. And it happened when he arrived that he blew the trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel went down with him from the mountains, and he led them. Then he said to them, follow me, for the Lord has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hands. So they went down after him, seized the fords of the Jordan leading to Moab, and did not allow anyone to cross over. And at that time they killed about 10,000 men of Moab, all stout men of valor. Not a man escaped. So Moab was subdued that day under the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. After him was Magar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox gourd, and he also delivered Israel. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again, here we go again, a circle. It's a cycle. What did our 10 words say? For Judges, Israel goes through cycles of sin, suffering, and salvation. And that is what's going on. We're going through the cycle of sin, of salvation, of suffering. I mean, of suffering and of salvation. You know, 80 years, 40 years, and understand generations. You go through where you might have this generation that does everything they're supposed to do, the next generation that maybe falters, but then comes the next generation that may do better. But the bottom line is all generations need to trust in God. But that comes from us telling the next generation how good our God is and how our God can change things in their life. All they have to do is have faith. Faith changes everything. That substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Watch God work. God can move you from a basement to a cathedral. All you have to believe, because God is that substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We got to have faith. And it goes here and it says, then Ehud, and I'm probably going to call this man Ehud, you know, I'm just going to call him Ehud, was dead, and children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazar. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chairs of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed children of Israel. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Liphtad, was judging Israel at that time. And she was set under the palm trees of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinadab, and Kedesh of Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded go and destroy troops at Mount Tabor. Take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and of the sons of Zebulun. And against you I will destroy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots, his multitude, and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. Said to her, and this is the title of our word today, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. And the title God gave me was, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you won't, I won't. If you won't go, I won't go. You know, it was a smart mouth comment. Well, I'll go if you will go. But if you won't go with me, then I'm not going. You're supposed to be the lead of an army. What you talking about? Asking this woman, this prophetess, to go with you. What, are you not ready to go? Why do you need a woman to go with you? But he wasn't going. And this is what she said. Because Deborah didn't play. She said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman. Okay. Now, God didn't give you an assignment, but you're not going to do your assignment unless somebody else does your assignment with you. That's not how it works. When you have a particular assignment, you got to do your assignment. God will send someone to help you, but God does not send them for you to say, well, you're going to have to do the work, and I'll just kind of go with the flow. No, we have to work together. You know, there are times, though, that sometimes folks do take over, but then you have to let go and let God, because you know your assignment. And if someone else comes in and takes over, and you have said, you know, that's not the vision, but they do it anyway because they're over you, then you allow it, because God is obviously giving them an assignment that may make whatever it is you're doing better. So, you know, we got to get out of that he said, she said, they said, woo-woo said attitudes, and get rid of attitudes, because so many times we get attitudes about certain things. And then those attitudes leave room for the devil, because that's what he wants. He wants us to be against each other. And Deborah, she didn't act ugly. She just told him, okay, I'll go with you. But understand, you will not get the glory. A woman will. And he's probably thinking, oh, it's Deborah. She'll get the glory. So he was not worried about that, because she was a judge. She was over him. He was fine with that. But understand, God has a way of doing some stuff. So let's keep reading, because I told y'all it was a great word this morning. I all that. And he goes on to say that Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kedesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kedesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber and Kenai of the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had separated themselves from the Kenites and pitched his tent near the terebinth tree at Zenim, which is beside Kedesh. And they reported to Sisera that Barak the son of Abinadi had gone up to Mount Tabor. So Sisera gathered together all his chariots, 900 chariots of iron, and all the people who were with him from Harosheth to Hogiam to the river Kishon. Then Deborah said to Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone before you? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him. And the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and all his army with the edge of the sword before Barak and Sisera alighted from his chariot and fled away on foot. But Barak drew the chariots and the army as far as Hesharath, Hagin, and all the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. All them 900 chariots of iron and all the people who came up against the 10,000 of Israel did not make it. Now, okay, now understand. Now, Sisera, he's out. He's on foot, and he's running. He's running for his life. However, Sisera fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the Canaanite, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hagar, and the house of Heber the Canaanite. Went out to meet Sisera and said to him, "Sire, my lord, turn aside to me. Do not fear." And when he had turned aside with her into the tent, she covered him with a blanket. Then he said to her, "Please give me a little water to drink, for I am thirsty." So she opened a jug of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him. And he said to her, "Stand at the door of the tent, and if any man comes and inquires of you and says, 'Is there any man here?' you shall say, 'No.'" Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a tent peg and took a hammer in her hand and went softly to him and drove the peg into his temple, and it went down into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And then as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, "Come, I will show you the man whom you seek." And when he went into her tent, there lay Sisera dead with a pig in his temple. So on that day, God subdued Jabin, king of Canaan, in the presence of the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. But again, a woman got the glory, just as Deborah told him she would. And so let's go up to some life lessons. And for those that are just joining us, life lessons are coming from Dr. Charles Stanley. The Bible we are reading this year is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And I am coming out of the New King James Version of the Word. And I just think, again, I will wholeheartedly tell every one of you, if given opportunity to purchase this Bible, it is well worth whatever you pay for it, because it is a daily Bible. Even when we don't do it here on this blog and you don't hear it on this show, you can read it yourself and you stay in a daily word every day. The Word of God tells us to meditate on His Word day and night. And if you are there and you have a Bible, a daily Bible is the best Bible to get, especially it says a Bible in a year. We are going to read this entire Bible in 1 year. We started January 1st with Genesis chapter 1, and we will end on December 31st, God willing, with Genesis with Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. And I just always like to come in and every now and again just remind you that Revelation chapter 22, verse 21 says simply, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." Amen. That's it. That's the end. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The Word is with you in the beginning, and the Word is with you in the end. And may His grace be with you. What a word. And that's our word. And that's why I wholeheartedly, if you have opportunity, you know, and I'm not getting paid by In Touch Ministries or Dr. Stanley, I just say this, it is a word worth purchasing. And it's the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. Buy it, get it, it's well worth it. Maybe there are people out there listening that would like to give it as a gift. And I use New King James because it's just easier to understand. For those that are just starting out in the Word, I read King James. That's what I was raised on. I got a Bible where it has King James, New King James, NIV, and NLT all in the same Bible. just so that I always have that King James available. So understand, King James, I will never not read King James. But I like New King James a little bit better. That's just my own personal preference. So let's keep it moving. And we're going to do some life lessons from Dr. Stanley. And the first one is, they took their daughters to be their wives and gave their daughters to their sons, and they served their God. And it says this, Dr. says it's so wonderful. He says, marriage can make or break one's faith. Judges declares that Israel fell into idolatry by marrying into it, just as King Solomon would many years later, 1 Kings 11:4. Christians are not to marry unbelievers, period. 2 Corinthians 6:14. And we're going to go there. Unequally yoking is not a good thing. Believers should not marry unbelievers, because you can't have in your mind, well, I'm going to change them. You can't change anybody. They have to accept Christ themselves, a manner that you have to be very, very careful who you yoke yourself to, who you become involved with. Because the bottom line is, you know, there are folks out there that don't believe, and they will have you in marriage and tell you, no, you can't go to church. Mm-mm. We're not doing that. And because you are married into that situation, you got to follow after your husband or your wife. And that's what it says. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? I remember that, and I'm going to read it one more time. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Dr. Stanley says it best. Marriage can make or break one's faith. Judges declares that Israel fell into idolatry by marrying into it, just as King Solomon, the wisest man on this planet, besides Jesus, messed up and fell into idolatry. Someone who knew better. And it tells us, and he says it, are not to marry unbelievers, period. Remember that. Put that in your arsenal of knowledge. Judges 3:12. The Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. When we make it a habit to destroy him, When we make it a habit to disobey him, meaning God, God may take an active role in increasing the power of our enemies. He does this so we will repent and return to him, not to destroy us. God wants our repentance. Lord, forgive me should be on your word, in your mouth every morning. Lord, forgive me if I have sinned, known sin, unknown sin. Forgive me, Lord. Ask every day before you close your eyes at night, ask for forgiveness. Because what if you don't wake up in the morning? You don't want to wake up in hell. Forgiveness every night before you close your eyes. Father God, please, if I have done anything wrong on this day, things that I've known, things I didn't know, please forgive me. If I've hurt anyone, if I have any unforgiveness in my heart, please remove it and forgive me as I forgive others. We got to keep that in our minds and in our spirits daily. As you meditate on the word, we got to study it and know it and understand that it has to be a part of who you are. Life lessons from Judges 4:7. Against you I will deploy Sisera. It says, note that the Lord says, I will deploy Sisera. The enemy commander, God, is sovereign. Even the movement of enemy troops is subject to his rule. God is in charge of everything, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Judges 4:15, the Lord routed Sisera. The Bible declares that the Lord routed Sisera. The sword of Barak, of Barak, and his men were not secondary. As David says years later, the Lord does not slay with sword and spear, but the battle is the Lord's. 1 Samuel 17:47. The battle is the Lord. And Deborah, it says this, Deborah, a mother in Israel, Judges 4:4-10. The Bible doesn't tell us much about Deborah other than to call her a prophetess, a highly esteemed judge of Israel, and the wife of Lippadot. We don't know if scripture description of her as a mother in Israel, Judges 5:7, means that she had children or that she carried or she cared for Israel as only a loving mother could. We do not know why God chose Deborah to become a judge. That seems strange in a culture generally ruled by men. We do know that Deborah loved God and served him faithfully. We do know the people trusted her, and that even the commander of the army, Barak, respected her leadership. Deborah's example indicates that it doesn't take a certain set of credentials to become an effective servant of God. The Lord uses the person who listens to him and obeys. Deborah made herself available to God, and God made her victorious. Praise the Lord. Psalms 48:9-12. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgment. Walk about Zion and go all around her. Count her towers. Mark well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generations following. For this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide, even in death. Life lesson, Psalms 48:10. According to your name, O God, so it is your praise to the ends of the earth. God deserves our very best praise and worship, for he has the very best name in all of the universe. The style never matters so much as the heart. Regardless of what we sing, do we bring to him our best? Praise God. Do we bring to God our best? Proverbs 14:18-19. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. The evil will bow before the good, and the wicked at the gates of the righteous. Praise God. And our last word for this morning is from Luke 14:25-35. And it says, Luke 14:25, how now great multitudes went with him. And he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great ways off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And this is a life lesson from that word this morning. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Jesus calls for exclusive commitment to the Father through him. In comparison to our love for him, everything else, everything should look like hatred. He alone must be enthroned in our heart. You know, when you first read that line, that scripture, it's like that seems awful harsh. Because doesn't the Bible say we're supposed to love? But what Jesus is saying, you got to forsake everything to follow me. Understand, if you go back in the Word, you know that his disciples had harsh lives after he died. It was not easy to be a follower and a believer of Christ. They were murdered, treated like dirt. They were pursued. They were slaughtered. They were burnt alive and crucified. They were drawn and quartered. Let's understand. Stoned. Over roofs. And off of buildings, put on islands by themselves to reflect. Understand, it was not easy to be a follower of Christ. In our generation, we can be followers of Christ. We can be awesome men and women of God. And let his light shine, that those that see us seek him in us. All we have to do is believe. All the word I have for today. On tomorrow, we will be doing a couple of lessons. And actually today, we're going to go ahead and go into our Psalms and our Proverbs in Luke chapter 15. Which would normally be on tomorrow, but again, I will not be doing a blog on Thursday. I will be on a plane spending some time with my granddaughter. So I will not be blogging on Thursday. And so the word that we do today, we'll be doing, again, I won't be back until Monday. And then I'll send out a note. It'll be on my Facebook or on Twitter. That there's a show going on, because I will be taking all my stuff with me, because I never know what God's plans are, because God may want his word to go forth for some college students to hear. So I will not say we won't be blogging. I'll just say just call in to 213-943-3597 at 7 a.m., and it will let you know if there will be a show or not. If it says there's no show scheduled, then I won't be doing one. But my goal is to at least do a Friday show from my destination. So, but we are going to go ahead, since we do have a little bit of time, we're going to go ahead and read our Psalms for tomorrow and our Proverbs in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. And it says this, and then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he is found? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And that is our life lesson. It says, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep. It's neither cold-hearted nor a matter of fact about finding his lost sheep and bringing them home. He takes great joy and feels great excitement in reestablishing a close bond with his wandering ones. Luke 15 and 10 says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus cannot talk about heaven and about the redeemed who populated without talking about the joy and gladness. Heaven is a very happy place because joy is an attribute of God. And we're going to go over to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And it says this. But the fruit of the Spirit, and we know that chapter 5 is the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And again, and gladness. I love it. Jesus cannot talk about heaven and about the redeemed who populate it without talking about joy and gladness. Heaven is a very happy place because joy is an attribute of God. And what does it say? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, fullness, and we're going to keep going, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And we have to understand God wants us to have the fruit of the Spirit. And as we go back into our Old Testament to Psalms chapter 49, verses 1 through 9, it says this, and this is a psalm of the sons of Korah. Hear this, all people, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall give understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark stain on the heart. Why should I fear in the days of evil, when the iniquity at my heel surrounds me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever, that he should continue to live eternally and not see the pit. And none of us want to see the pit. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 20 through 21. The poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. God wants us to have mercy on the poor. God wants us to have mercy on those that are downtrodden. Continue. In Psalms chapter 49, verse 10 through 20, it says, for he sees wise men die, Likewise, the fool and the senseless person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inner thought is that their houses will last forever, their dwelling places to all generations. They call their land after their own name. Nevertheless, man, though in honor, does not remain. He is like the beast that perish. This is the way of those who are foolish, and of their prosperity who approve their sayings. Selah. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall be consumed in the grave, far from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. We got to know who we belong to. Do not be afraid when one becomes rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lives, he blesses himself. For men will praise you when you do well for yourself. He shall go to the generations of his father. They shall never see light. A man who is in honor yet does not understand is like a beast that perishes. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 22 through 24. Do they not go astray who devise evil? But mercy and truth belong to those who devise good. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. The crown of the wise is their riches, but the foolishness of fools is folly. And as we go back to Psalms chapter 49, verse 15, a life lesson. God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. Death will all of us, unless we are still alive when Jesus comes back. But one day God will break the power of death over us and bring us into fullness of life. For he will receive us in Jesus' name. Praise God. Psalm 49:20, a man who is in honor yet does not understand is like the beast that perish. Amassing a fortune or winning the admiration of millions counts for exactly nothing on the eternal scale if the person in question does not know the Lord. And that is our word this morning. We got to know God. We got to know who we belong to. Who are you a child of? Children of God. And we got to remember who our Father is. Keep him first in everything we do. We can't have a Barak spirit. Well, if you won't go with me, then I won't go. We can't have that. Because understand, God always goes with us. He is with us wherever we go. We have to remember who we belong to. Who, you know, they say, who's your daddy? I know my daddy, and he doesn't live on this planet. He lives everywhere because he is always with me, watching over me, guiding me, speaking to me, and leading me. When you know who your daddy is, you don't worry about what anybody's going to do because you know that your daddy is always going to be there to protect you. If there's anybody who has a word this morning, please call 213-943-3597. That is all the word I have for this morning. As always, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And her word for this morning is this. Good morning, no matter how things look right now. Know that God is still in control of our life. Stay in peace and believe that he will always be with you in all situations. Have a motivated Monday, family. That is all I have today. I thank you all, as always, for listening in. But this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing. We are glad in it. We are thankful. We are grateful, and we are blessed. God gave you a do-over today. And just remember that whatever that's on this world, we can't take it with us. I can't take anything I have. You can't take anything you have. All the billionaires, almost trillionaires, can't take anything they have with them. Just like the poorest of the poor cannot take anything they have with them. Only thing we take with us is our spirit. Spirit light, or is your spirit dark? Are you walking in righteousness? Are you walking in darkness? Are you equally yoked, or are you not yoked? Are you not equally yoked? God is seeing and watching everything. Thank you so much. I appreciate you all. Special shout out to my auntie. I love you. May God bless you and keep you. Have a blessed day, family. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' precious and holy name, I pray over you and yours. Stay in your word. If you get opportunity again, shout out to Dr. Charles Stanley, Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. Please purchase this Bible. It is worth it to have that word that you can read and meditate on day and night. Be blessed, family. It is a wrap. Why? Because it's time to go to work. Love you all. Have a wonderful day. It's a wrap.